As we get ready to get started here, just one more reminder. Leaders meeting May 31st at 12:30 after church. VBA is July 20th through 24th. Another opportunity, guys, for us to serve this community. Another opportunity for us to reach out to kids and fifth grade and younger. It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to bring kids into this church building. A lot of people, have you ever noticed that there's a lot of people when they think of the church building, they almost, it's like fear of getting bit almost by entering a building that's a church. As we bring people of this community into the church building and serve and love on their kids, it's a great opportunity to serve and to build those relationships that are going to bring blessing. All right, so we're starting a new series today, and it's called James, Be Doers of God's Word. Be Doers of God's Word. And as we look at this, you guys know that I love speaking of the love and the grace of God. God is absolutely amazing in how he responds to his people, how he leads us, how he communicates to us, how he loves us. And it blows me away over and over that the God of all creation cares about me, cares about us, is intimately involved with us. And there's a tension in Scripture that I think is very, very important. We are saved by faith through God's grace. Praise God. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. We had zero opportunity to get it done. It's not like we almost got there. We all fall so far short. It's shocking. Perfection and me don't even belong in the same breath. But Christ, man. And if God is perfect and if he's calling his people out, not to be separate, to become, build up the four walls and hide out, but to become a new creation in Christ, where the old is gone and the new has come. We have a new identity in Jesus Christ. And now we're called to go out into community in our new identity and bring love and truth and transformation into the people's lives that we get to affect, that we get to be a part of. God is love, but he's also a very serious God. And I don't think that we, in today's world, we're so focused on the love of God. James does a great job of bringing in some of the tension that's there. And I was talking with Jim Shedd, and he gave me this poem. I thought this was a great poem of talking about the tension. And I'll get to what the poem and where we're going with this series. But this is a great poem, and it's called I Am the Kite, and it's by Bruce Barton Bailey. And it says, I am a kite, I am the kite, red and orange, fire in the sky, stunt kite, cutting loops and gashes in the blue. My skin vibrates on my frame with power. I cut the cord to fly yet higher still, to show the rest what freedom's all about. I turn and twist my fanciest curls and set my course for distance. But my mistake was not to take the wind for granted, but the cord that tensioned me to one I did not see so far below. The flyer is not me. Lord, give me the anchor. Give me pause. Let me know in freedom's limited flight, the kite's first cause. I love that. Guys, God is love. God has called us to be about his love, but we're also called to be doers of God's word. And there is a tension here that if we are called to be free in Christ, and sometimes we think of that freedom as we get to go and do what we want. But if we're free in Christ and we're transformed in Christ, what we want is what? Has changed. What we wanted before was me. How, whatever it affects me, whatever's best for me at the moment, that's what I want. That's, you know, children are a lot like that, aren't they? Children, as I'm parenting, one of the things that we're reminded of in parenting is kids want what they want when they want it. And do kids ask for things once? Oh my goodness, sometimes it's just this barrage of please, it will come from this angle and come from this angle. And oh man. But the power of being connected, the power of being connected. I'm free in Christ, but I'm free to do God's will, and what I do matters. What I do, what we do, it matters. So let's jump in here, and as we start a new series here, the book of James. Be doers of God's word. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. First of all, this is a book by James. Who's James? He's Jesus' half-brother. He's got the same mom and a different dad. I want you to picture being James growing up. Now, I had two older brothers. My middle brother, Bart, you got to meet him last week. Bart's nickname growing up was the perfect son. My nickname growing up was not Bart. Boy, I tell you, those shoes were big shoes to fill. Now, granted, I tower over them a little bit, which I let them know now. But they were big shoes to fill. Everywhere, every time, both my brothers were incredible students. And as they went through schools, all their work would be on the walls of all the new schools that I would come into. And they would look at me as, oh, another Shorak. Fantastic. And I would see those eyes light up. And I remember thinking, just wait about 3 weeks and we'll see if those eyes are still lit. Imagine being James. Imagine shoes to fill. Imagine your older brother being who? Yeah, he's the Messiah. My brother's such a good guy. Yeah, mine is too. He's the Messiah. God incarnate, God with us. Emmanuel. And As I think about what James must have been going through and all those years where we know he doesn't see eye to eye, he doesn't have faith in who his brother is. And then we have those years of silence. And then it comes and it starts, and this book written by James starts as James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. See, something happened to James that happened to the other disciples, which happened to many at the point of the resurrection. Wow. He rose from the dead. And as the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, man, James understands who Jesus is. This is no small thing at the beginning of this book. James, a servant of God, he's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, to the people who have been scattered, the Jews who have been scattered. James was converted at the resurrection, but in the early days after the resurrection, he became one of the leaders in the church in Jerusalem. And he was regarded with reverence. One of his nicknames was James the Just One. James the Just One. And Eusebius, one of the great church fathers, historians, he talks about how James was later martyred, how he was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, and he didn't fully die when he hit the ground, and they stoned him. He suffers for his faith. A servant of Jesus Christ. We understand that this is a man who got to live out what he's speaking to us here, what he's sharing. James had faith in Jesus Christ. We know from Hebrews 11:6, it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to start with the book of James of right there. Without faith, there is no way that any of us can please God. There's no way. And we've been looking at the book of Hebrews is right before this, and it's a book about faith. And now we come to James, and it's faith in action. Faith with feet on it. Faith in real life. The nitty-gritty of faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've got to start there, guys. And as he comes in, he shares this, James 1, starting in verse 2. And he starts in a place that, you know what? I think all of us are like, really? There? James 1, 2. Consider it pure joy when things go well in your life. And God moves before you and all the problems and challenges are put aside. And you've got a free ride in Jesus with no trials, no temptations. Oh, wait. Did I add a little? Oh, that was my version. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Doesn't that seem a little silly, honestly? Consider it pure joy. Now, was this saying, every time you get hit in the mouth, you smile and say, hit me again? No. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Your faith is the target that the enemy is aiming at. Your faith, if you've come to faith, Satan's lost the battle of your soul. Because we know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We know that nothing separates us from the love of God. If we've come to real transformational faith in Jesus Christ, not religious activity, not knowledge of God, but personal transformation in Jesus Christ, nothing can take us out. Our names were written in the book of life before time. God knew who we were before time began. It's a better way to put it. Before you were, he wrote your name in the book of life. God is outside of time. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, I'm really excited to see. Hey, honey. I'm really excited to see my honey in the back of the church. She and the girls weren't here. Tessa's been struggling with being sick all week, and I was looking around, and she and the girls. I brought the boys earlier, but the girls weren't here, and we called, and I was like, oh my goodness, where's Julie? Where are the girls? And I was like, Lord, please don't give me another example. I've got plenty of examples in the message of trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. When something could be wrong, our minds aren't in the mindset of this is pure joy. I got to tell you, this morning when we started worshiping and my honey wasn't here and the girls weren't here and I didn't know what was going on yet, I was not in the place of pure joy. So what's it saying? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Isaiah 48:10 says this, and I think this is beautiful. See, I have refined you. I don't have this in the overhead. See, I have refined you through, though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I love the end of that. The furnace of affliction. You know how they take a metal and they make it pure? They heat it up really hot. They put it into the fire. And all the impurities are burnt out. And I love what it says, the furnace of affliction. Guys, God doesn't expect us to be wanting to take another smack, another hit, another. But we're to continue to consider it joy when we're going through things that make us dependent on God, because in the process, there's joy. Why? Because God is moving in our lives. God is moving in our lives. If life was easy, it wouldn't require faith, right? Faith is believing and trusting and knowing in what we don't see. And the question when the trial comes is, am I going to have more trust in me or God? And some of you have suffered in ways that I'll never be able to understand or relate to. Some of you have suffered and struggled. We've all suffered in different ways, haven't we? There's so much out there that can cause us to get stuck. And if we consider the process of coming to be tested by God, and in that testing, some perseverance is developed. Some perseverance. We're gonna commit. We're gonna stay true to what we know, which is Jesus Christ. We're gonna grab onto Jesus with both hands. Why? We've got nowhere else to go of value. And so I'm grabbing onto Jesus because, man, this is my joy. My perseverance, under this trial, my joy is in Christ alone, because what I'm experiencing right now is not joy, but Jesus is. So I'm grabbing onto him with both hands because it's all that it's the only joy that's there in this moment. And it's also the only one who has the power to deal with what I'm dealing with. Now, sometimes God changes our situation. Sometimes he changes our heart. But we can grab on because of the perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Is there anybody here who at certain times in your life says, I'm okay with lacking some things if it means a little less trial and testing? See, God knows what's best. You don't. I don't have a clue. And when God moves behind the scenes, it's the tapestry. I love the picture that Ravi Zacharias gives us. That picture of we see the under part of the tapestry. It's a mess. It's total chaos. God's view is this beautiful work. We don't see the beautiful pattern, the beautiful picture of the tapestry. We see all the loose threads hanging on the bottom side. And what? Are you serious? Where's God? Where's his direction? Where's the order? What's going on? And God has this beautiful tapestry that he's making. And he's including us in it. The furnace of affliction from Isaiah 48:10. I love that. Guys, there are things that need to be burnt out of us. And you can't do it. Christ already did it on the cross. The good news is you don't have to go on the cross also. It would be worthless. You are not a perfect sacrifice. Jesus finished the work on the cross. And then he was buried and he rose from the grave. And in his resurrection, we have defeating death and power over sin, power over the junk. We have righteousness, God's righteousness. So, does anybody here want to grow in their faith? Some of you aren't sure because of what we're talking about, right? I saw a few hands go like this. Yeah? What's the catch? What's the catch? If I want to grow in my faith, I have to be willing to trust God in the midst of the trial. And it says here, keep rejoicing. Consider it pure joy. Keep rejoicing with what God is bringing. Why? Because you know that God is providing a way for blessing, for redemption of the situation that you're going through. It might be unbelievable. We know from Job, right, that it's not an easy road at times. I mean, Job followed God and followed God and followed God, and things got worse and worse and worse from a human standpoint. And Job comes to that place where he says, and he doesn't condemn God, he doesn't badmouth, he just questions God. He just, really? And he questioned, all he does after all this junk happens in his life and he loses his family, is he just, really, God? And what's God's response? Were you there? And God goes into this response with Job of, were you there when I created the mountains? Were you there when, and he goes back to the beginning, before God is saying, I'm in charge. You can trust me. And I want to say this, guys. There are times where it's very, very difficult to trust God. Why? Because we're not seeing very well through the underhang thing, all the junk of the tapestry. We don't see God's perspective. But we need to rejoice. Because we know that because of this testing, God is being glorified in the perseverance that's coming in. From that perseverance, from that ongoing trust in God in the midst of when everything's falling apart, God's bringing blessing and maturity. Guys, the very things that the enemy is trying to destroy you with today is the very thing that God will minister to others through you tomorrow. We have a redeeming God, and he ministers through us. And the trials that we're going through, man. Another thing that's the challenge with the furnace of affliction, with growing in our faith, is God saying, obey now. Obey now. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And as we're obedient, where? Now, in the process of wherever you're at. I don't know what's going on, and some of you, I know some of what's going on in your life. But I don't know what's going on in everyone's life. And I don't know the depths of what's taking place. But I want to encourage you, obey God now. See, it's been a theme for a while here. We keep coming back to this theme of coming back to God's word. It's a good theme. It's a good thing to come back to. What we find, how we deal with the challenges of life, because I promise that if you're in a really high moment right now, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Relish it. Take advantage of it. Share it. Share the blessing with those around you. Don't keep that blessing to yourself. Some of us need some serious encouragement. Share that blessing. And know that God, when things turn in the world around you, God doesn't change. The situation changes, but God doesn't change. Obey him now. And here's one of the hardest parts on that. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. It says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance. What is perseverance? Somebody share with me. What is to persevere? What is that? To not give up, to keep going, to keep moving forward. That's beautiful, beautiful, very descriptive language. Press on. Press on. The tension, right? The tension. Press on. Be patient. God moves at a different pace and with a different purpose. And there is incredible blessing if we're patient. If we're not patient, we're going to miss the blessing and the joy. We're going to miss seeing God move. There's times where, with our children, when they go through something and we think, ah! And we get so caught up in the struggle of bad decisions that we miss out in seeing God's moving even there. And we pray and we pray and we pray. Don't lose the joy during the time of the pressing of that perseverance. Because, guys, maturity doesn't just happen. Think about somebody in your life that you look to as a man or woman of God, that you, man, you respect them. You've seen their life. You know them. Not that they're perfect, but you have admiration for them. Why? There's a maturity. There are certain people. I get the joy of meeting with Jim once a week. Jim Shedd, one of our elders. Once a week we get to connect. Do you know what a difference that makes in my life? Do you know what a difference it makes in my life having a man of God who's gone through the things that I've gone through and the things I haven't even come up to yet and been faithful? Maturity doesn't just happen. Maturity takes place over, what does it mean to mature? Time is moving on. We need to be patient because time is moving on. Now, some of you have realized I'm not going to finish all the scripture that I have for today. Don't worry, I'm not going to try. We're not going to go for 8 hours. I just want to set your minds at ease, all right? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Guys, that part sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Not lacking anything. Guess what? We don't get to start there. One of the things that always amazes me is, as I talk to many young people, is there's this mindset that their parents and their grandparents started where they are right now, in the home that they're in now, with the job and the retirement that they have now, that, man, as I hear stories, one of the things I love to do is hear stories and hear life stories from people who are, what's a good way to say it? Blessed with age. Who have been through life. Who've lived longer. Who've had more experiences, and to hear their story, their testimony of where, how they got where they are. And one of the things I think it's important for my generation and younger to realize is it was a battle at times. There were things going on. This world, the struggles that we're facing at this time, it's not the first time we've struggled as a nation, as a people. Struggle has been a part of all of life. Guys, not lacking anything. So
so that we may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. What is that saying? It's saying, in Christ, if I understand that this situation is not God's way of punishing me, but it's God's way of what? Of what?
Refining us,
which is what? Maturing us, which is a blessing. If the goal is to be mature, not lacking anything, then the way to get there is a blessing, right? When we're in the middle of the trial of the test, anybody here love to take tests? Some of you, my wife was a test taker. Top student of all of this, top student of Umakum everything. Not all of us like the test, do we? But what if the trial is the blessing? Guys, think about this for a minute. Think about this. What if the trial is the blessing? Because now it's an opportunity for God's glory to be seen. For us to come to a place where we say, I can't, and God to say, I know. And for when we do grab on and become dependent and reach on Him, now we see Him move in ways that we never would have seen Him before the trial. And so we don't look for the trial, but in the process of it, there is great blessing because we get to see God's hand moving. We get to see His redemptive power at work. That all of a sudden changes the way we can look at the trial and the testing, doesn't it? Now it's not, oh, I'm undone. Now it's okay, God. I'm trusting You now. Here we go. It's game time. It's time to take that. And I'm going to trust You with this situation. Guys, we need to pray hard at those times because it does not come naturally. Our flesh wants to get in the way and say, but really it's all about me and this moment and feeling nice. And it's not. We're not the focal point of life. God is. Be patient in trusting God. See His work. Know that there is a blessing that you are receiving in the midst of the trial. As I went through 28 times of getting malaria. 26, 28, I can't remember now. I also blanked. 20-something times of malaria. I got to tell you, there were times in the midst of that where I just wanted to serve God. I just wanted to be involved in the ministry that I'd gone to Uganda as a missionary with my wife to do. And instead, I was curled up in a ball in pain and high fever, vomiting, just weeks on end. It's never going to end. Just a little under 300 pounds, I was 190 and change. Blood infections, almost die. Bilharzia, a mess. It's so easy when things aren't going the way that you planned to start looking at God like He's against you. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Yes. And guys, when that lie comes, and the enemy, I promise you, will bring that lie. And I'm not talking with just physical challenges. What about relational challenges? What about when there's discord and we don't know how to move forward and we get stuck and we step on toes and we're getting our toes stepped on and yeah, it doesn't feel like joy. But what if through this process, as we grab onto Jesus, God brings maturity through the perseverance? God brings broken relationships into healing. God brings people who were in discord now who've been through the fire together and now are ready for the next step, which they weren't ready before this discord. Because they've been undone. They've been, this is me. Am I broken? This is me. Sorry. And now we start receiving people not for what they can do or do for us, but we receive them as brothers and sisters in Christ. We've gone through the fire together. And something happens when you get in the fire. The junk will get burned. And the thing is, do we hold on to the junk and get burned with it? Guys, are you going to hold on to the junk and get burned? Are you going to hold on to it and be in that furnace of affliction, and I'm not going to let go of my junk? You will get burned, and it will be painful, and the burning will keep happening as we keep holding on to the junk. God is saying, no, trust me in this. And when we come to a point of saying, warts and all, this is it. God says, now, let's move forward. This is what I've been waiting for. Now let's move forward in maturity, because God doesn't want us to be lacking anything, because we're so here with Him. When we are in God's presence and relying on Him and dependent on Him, guess what? We're not lacking anything. You may be hungry, you're not lacking anything. You may not have shelter, you're not lacking anything. Because God is in control, and He will bless in the whole process. He will be glorified, and all of a sudden things will happen around you and there's no explanation for it. God moved and I just held on tight. Have you ever gotten on the ride on the roller coaster? Oh my goodness. I went on this one roller coaster, and it was the kind that you sit and you hang from. You're not on top of, you hang. And it, I had zero control. Man, it was terrifying. Of my whole family, I was the only one that went on it. I was very proud of myself. I didn't get off it going, oh yeah. I got it off it going like this. It rocked me. It was so much fun. And it got to a point where it went all the way back and it stopped. And I'm leaning forward on this thing and I'm looking at this little thing. And I noticed that the car behind me, it had a sign on it as I was getting on saying, out of order. And I'm thinking, let's hope it's not saying on this seat at the end of this ride, out of order. Wait, 285, 89, 280. Is it going to hold me? Is it going to hold me? Is it going to hold me? All these things rushing through your mind. And then, boom, you're going. And just when you, and now, if you follow Christ, I promise you, you will not be in control of your life. But the good news is, with Christ, there's no out of order. There's no out of order. God is a God of order. He's a God of purpose and direction. He's a God of love and passion and pleasure. And man, hang on and enjoy the ride. It will be intense. You will not be in control. Praise God. Because if you were, there'd have to be a whole lot of out-of-order signs. So guys, in the furnace of affliction, let go of the stuff that needs to be burned so you don't get burned with it. Hold on to Christ, get on the ride, and go. Trust Him. And trust that those relationships which have been affected by the furnace of affliction, God will bless. God's in control. Now, sometimes because of repentance, they'll be blessed now. Other times it will take longer. make sure for you there's repentance. You can't control somebody else's response. Make sure for you there's repentance. And forgiveness. Because it's always a two-way street, right? There's not one who's right, one who's wrong. All right. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How can we lack when we have God? How can we lack? Guys, of the greatest riches in the world, we've got the greatest. To a greater extent than anything we can think or imagine. Remember last week? Immeasurably more. Than all that we can think of or imagine. Immeasurably more. And it's ours. So let's trust God. When the ride starts shaking a little bit, trust God. Don't try and take the seatbelt off and do it yourself. Trust God. Trust God. Let's close in prayer. Father, Lord, you had me spend more time here than what I'd planned, and I pray that you would use that for your glory. Lord, it's you know our hearts, you know our minds. God, it is so hard to trust you. Forgive us for that. Forgive us for being so puffed up with ourselves that we would even entertain for a moment the idea that our answers are better than yours. That we might not say it with words, but with our actions at times, we're yelling at you to hurry up and figure it out. To get on board with us. Lord, forgive us for our arrogance, for our pride. Lord, forgive us for not trusting you in the midst of the trial. Forgive us for thinking that we have the answers. We don't. Forgive us for thinking that life is about us and when things come or relationships are challenged in a way that affect life being about us, sometimes our worst comes out. Our junk comes out. And Lord, rather than giving it to you and having it being burned up, we hold on to the junk and we wound and the people around us and are wounded by them back. Father, we pray to be mature. We pray that you would do what you need to do in our lives to bring us to maturity. Lord, it is a dangerous prayer. But we pray it because we don't want to be fake with you or with others. Forgive us for all the Christianese that we speak when we're falling apart on the inside. We act like everything's okay and we're a mess and we don't even share it. We live a lie of what we feel and what we share. Lord, I pray that the truth would come from your word. And how we feel would not be directed by what we're going through, but how we feel would be directed by who we are in you, by our new identity in you. That our feelings would come under the truth of who we are as children of God. And that the enemy wouldn't be able to direct us down the wrong path because of wounds and pain and fear and discouragement. Anger, self-righteousness. Father, thank you that you are so patient with us. We desire to be, not only receive that from you, but to be that way with each other. Father, forgive us for where we've demanded it to be done our way. Forgive us, Lord. Pray that you would minister to us. Continue to unite us, Lord. Thank you for the challenges that we've been going through, Lord, because we know that you're preparing us for what's next. Thank you for the challenges that we've been experiencing, Lord, because we know that it's been preparing us for what is next. You have more for us. And to prepare us for that, you're bringing us through the furnace of affliction for your glory to be seen. We desire to be used by you, Lord, in your way, in your strength, in your time. Give us joy in it. Give us joy in seeing you work in a broken world and you using even us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.